Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back to Reclaiming the Republic. As you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. And I'm going to dive into Republic Review, RepublicReview.org, the naming, and all of that, because a lot of people just go, what the heck is that? What does that mean? And most people think, well, that's yours, right? As a matter of fact, I've been accused that the John Birch Society has said, well, Republic Review is whatever GR says it is. Actually, not. And as a matter of fact, I defy anybody who understands contract law and auditing and obtaining full compliance to a compact to look at Republic Review and tell me how that is not hook by hook, line by line, step by step, a part of the entire process of holding parties, or the parties, I should say, holding the sub-element, the subcontractor, those who that contract had created accountable into becoming fully compliant. And so we'll get into this because I want you to understand that Republic Review is... Well, let me just move on. You are listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and the evidence-based solutions of what we have to do. This is why we go through the ratification debates. And this is why we point to the ratification debates and not the Federalist Papers. The Federalist Papers are articles that were written in vacuums. And then next thing you know, they were going back and forth and debating this in the public forum. And to be honest, if you didn't know, many papers did not run the anti-Federalist Papers or their comments. They just ran the Federalist. And so what that meant was that they were doing censorship back then just to promote the Federalist. Now, that would probably put a lot of ammo in those people who claimed that the Anti-Federalists were right, that the Anti-Federalists were, you know, they should have, you know, stopped this Constitution. No, actually, that's incorrect. They're incorrect. The fact of the matter is that there were biases back in those days, and the comments regarding the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists are only insightful. There was no legal standing. It's not like every time Hamilton submitted his next article or Madison submitted his next article to the paper, he published this one. It's not like he took an oath to say, everything I say here, I swear to be true. This is why you see Hamilton being very aggressive in the newspapers and in the Federalist Papers, far more so than he was aggressive during the ratification debates. Why? Because he knew he was under oath in those ratification debates. Those were legally binding words that he could be held to. And this is why he was such a snake. He was a lawyer. This is why, you know, if you're a lawyer, you have a tough road to hoe, because it's almost like lawyers have such a bad rap. It's almost like you're a criminal and you have to go out of your way to prove that you're not a criminal. And I'm not saying that you are a criminal just because you're a lawyer, but what I am saying is that the lawyer profession, the, what do they call that? The titles of nobility, this whole thing that started a long time ago about creating esquires in the bar and supporting the bar over the Constitution has created such a swamp that most lawyers, as a matter of fact, the common law lawyer who actually practices law, but he hasn't passed the bar, but he does go into cases as far as courts go. I know Bob Schultz does this as well. But anyway, I digress. I'm going down these paths. But bottom line is that Alexander Hamilton was a lawyer. He understood what he was doing, and he did not want to be caught straddling that line of truth. He did not want to be caught saying something that he could actually be forced to eating his words. This is one of the reasons why Madison and Marshall deliberately obfuscated. They tried to bury, they tried to hide, they never referenced the ratification debates. Isn't that interesting? Because they knew what was said in the ratification debates are legally binding terms and definitions of those proponents, not the opponents, but those proponents who were supporting and calling for the ratification of the Constitution, what they were telling people and people buying into that, they knew that was legally binding. This is just the fundamental tenets of contract law, my friends. If I'm selling you a car and we're standing outside and I tell you, if you buy this car, as long as you own it, as long as you own it, you bring it on in every week and we'll wash this car for you. Okay, so we go in, you give me the cash, you actually outright buy the car. I had no idea you had that cash. We didn't even do a contract. And so that kind of strikes me as kind of, oh, this is good. So bottom line, and I think there is a title, you do sign some papers and that type of stuff, but you didn't do a financial obligation or anything like that type of contract. Anyway, you come back in the next week and you say, okay, wash my car. And I turn to you and say, oh, shoot, you know what? We forgot to put that into the contract. Oh, that's right, we didn't do a contract. So I'm sorry, next time you buy a car, make sure we put that into the contract. And then you'd look at me like a slime ball. And you should. Because a slime ball doesn't stand up to what they said. I know I said it. You know I said it. And guess what? If you've got evidence, if it was put in writing, in other words, I texted you as the salesman, as the fiduciary agent for selling that car to you, I have given you a legal binding term and or definition to that contract, to you buying that car from us. And so all you got to do is go to court and say, here's my evidence. You've got witnesses. That's good enough. Yep, we heard him say it. Every week he owns that car. And guess what? I mean, you could probably try to rake me over the holes. I would say that the court would probably rule in favor of me just having to, you know, wash your car. And who knows if I get fired because, you know, that put the dealership at risk for having to spend that money. Well, anyway. My point is that whatever was stated during those ratification debates by the proponents and telling the delegates there who were representing the people to ratify that Constitution, and in Massachusetts, I'll give you a good example, it was stated twice that Congress cannot pass a law and immune themselves from the oppression that they create upon the people, that they must suffer the exact same oppression. And so this is why understanding the ratification debates is really important, because everything that Congress has immune themselves from based on that Constitution and based on how it was sold in the ratification debates, everything that they've immune themselves gets wiped away. It just melts away. But bottom line, here's the bigger problem with that. Almost everything that they've done to the American people that was oppressive, and everything that they've done, you know, for their golden parachutes, retirement, to those types of things, all of those things are unconstitutional. And why is that? Because the Constitution deals with emoluments. And what are emoluments? Emoluments are benefits and pay, compensation, and those types of things that go along with your position. As a congressman, as a senator, and as the president, as a judge, you receive a pay. Well, back in those days, that was it. You were a public servant. You got compensated for your time. There were no permanent emoluments. For the federal government to create permanent emoluments, I believe that they need, and I believe this is what has to go to the states, and I'll bet the states are going to stand up and say, you know what, you do need to amend the Constitution. You don't have a right to a golden parachute to live off of us because of whatever behavior you had. Regardless of how long you've worked there, you do not have a right to continually tax us for doing nothing. You're a public servant, we'll compensate you, and that's, and voila, it all goes away. You know, I am probably the most hated person of any government employee, government bureaucrat, and politician, because but I will also tell you that I do not believe your state legislators, your county commissioners and so forth, I'm not convinced that they're getting adequate pay. I know many states underpay their legislators. Here's the guys that are writing the laws that have to be constitutional, and they have to be able to stand behind those laws. Why don't we want the best and the brightest to do that? I mean, I'm okay with compensating somebody while they're working and that they do good work. And the more important part is we want to actually give them fair compensation so that they don't even succumb to the temptation of a lobbyist coming along and saying, hey, if you, we can get you to violate your oath and try to do something for us, but you're taking the risk. If you get caught, you're done for. But the point is that we should try to at least compensate them so that they don't feel that they have to be caught up in living a lifestyle well beyond their measure. As a matter of fact, I'm actually even okay with creating projects to, you know, let these guys live in, because there's a lot of states that are big, like Texas. And or actually, I think that because of COVID and everything else, I think we've seen merit. Oh, man, I've really gone down a tangent here. I forgive me. But the whole point is that why don't we use technology instead of spending more money to accommodating government and the insatiable desires and needs and lusts that they have for aggrandizing themselves and aggrandizing their powers. So we've got to start getting in control, and this is what Republic Review does. We have a comment line. And I'm going to try to email Charles. Forgive me, Charles, and everybody. I've really been slammed this week with a lot of medical appointments and so forth and so on. So it's not getting any better, but at least I'm able to keep up. And so we're going to continue moving forward with the marketing, and we're going to get into the resolutions. Whether we get into the resolutions, the 1798 resolutions, next week or the following week, it all kind of depends. But we are getting into them, and this is where we're going to get into the heart and soul and the essence of Republic Review, the audit, and this whole contractual process of holding the federal government accountable to the state's constitution. That U.S. Constitution for the United States, it's for them. We'll be right back after these two promos. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so instead of doing anything else, let me just move forward again. 425-270-5416 is the comment line. You're more than welcome to call in, you know, just to kind of initiate the depth of the topic, unless it's just really a question or a comment. But if you want to initiate the depth of a comment so that you kind of pique my interest, where I reach out to you and say, hey, let's talk about this on the air like I want to do with Charles, because I think it's really important that we start placing constitutional context to everything, because once we start doing that, I think the smoke kind of clears, the room kind of clears, and everybody realizes, what the heck we've got. And what we have is a house of cards. And what we have are a lot of states that have, you know, these chains and ropes and strings and ties and binds that are holding them back from being able to do everything that they can do. Because the Constitution does not allow the federal government to constrain the states in any way other than its trade with foreign nations and its shenanigan trading amongst states. I mean, if you really look at the Constitution, the federal government is really dead and constrained. But, you know, you see these little memes, and as a matter of fact, I believe it was Rand Paul that states the Constitution wasn't designed to constrain the American people. It was designed to constrain the United States government. And that's wrong. That's an absolutely wrong paradigm. It wasn't designed to constrain the U.S. government. It was designed to create and delegate very specific enumerated powers. That's it. Wasn't about constraining to say, okay, well, we'll let you seek out because of the growth. I mean, because that's where you start getting into this slippery slope of saying, well, we have this many people, so we should be able to do this, and we're going to change our representation from 30,000 to 750,000 people. Do you really feel you're represented by 750,000 people competing for your voice to your representative? I think it's 700-some-odd thousand. And I'm going, I got a problem with this, folks. They're making it up as they go along, and that's what they've been doing. It's not designed to constrain the federal government. It was designed to give them these powers and only these powers and this representation and so forth. You don't like it? Any type of problems as you grow as a nation, you must change the Constitution. You just can't take it upon yourself and change your representation, because it's clear, folks. It's right there in Article 1. How many people, the apportionment of representation is based on 30,000 people per representative. So how did they get this power to regulate themselves and grant themselves to marginalizing us, the people who they represent? This is why I believe that our First Amendment in the Bill of Rights, in the 12 amendments that were submitted in the Bill of Rights, needs to be passed. It will force Congress. Most people look at, wow, 7,000 people in representation. You know what? That's nothing. Because if you look at the representation of the people, the representation of the people is really to just basically decide whether we're going to go to war or whether we're going to protect our borders. Because Congress does not have the need for, you know, being in our knickers over labor, over toilets flushing, over light bulbs, over all of these other things. So we've got to start getting back to understanding the constitutional literacy. And so this kind of leads me back to what I wanted to talk about. And look, so I'm going to start by a conversation that I've heard with Tucker Carlson. I've always liked Tucker Carlson. I like his sardonic mode, his humor. There's lots of things I like about him. I do not know, until he's had the ultimate litmus test, I do not know where his heart and mind really lies. But I do say this, he's a conservative entertainer, and he presents a lot of facts, but he never presents the full picture. No conservative entertainer will ever present you the full picture. Why? What is the full picture? The real solution. That the federal government has no powers to do all of this, and the states have this power to do just whoop, and get rid of all of these unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, powers, and the money that they're spending, and actually getting rid of the debt as well. So lately, Tucker Carlson's been talking about this debt. He's been talking about the quantitative easing and the inflation of our currency and how rich people are getting richer and how they're using an unconstitutional process and system of aggrandizing themselves. Well, so here's where the rubber hits the road. If Tucker Carlson really, really wants to solve the problem and stop these rich cats getting richer and people taking advantage of unconstitutional processes and countries actually trying to position themselves to destroy the United States with debt, all unconstitutional, my friends, all of it. If Tucker Carlson really cares about that, then all he'd have to do is look at Republic Review, because he's a very bright man, and let's find out if his heart is really where, you know, his mouth is. Because I believe, and I talked to a gentleman over the past week. His name is Douglas V. Gibbs. I've had him on the show before. He's the president of the Constitution Association down in California. He's the founder. And he also, I've mentioned, he's brought me on the radio. He's the guy that's, you know, you can blame him for my presence on the radio. But Douglas V. Gibbs started calling all of these different conservative entertainers, conservative champions, people that are out offering subscriptions for your, you know, for them to teach you about the Constitution, or Hillsdale College, you know, how these institutions are patriotic. Well, he calls them P-A-Y-T-R-I-O-T-I-C, patriotic. In other words, they're in it for the money. And so the question is Tucker Carlson in it for the money? Or is he really in it to solving the problem? Does he really care? Is he willing to kill the goose that lays the golden egg? I've actually seen the government do this. The government was riding along on SGI. If you understand computers and so forth, I was on a contract that we were providing them for their data centers, these SGI machines and so forth. And IBM and the government were, I'll just say, I believe they were colluding in trying to get rid of SGI, whether there was risks or what have you. I don't know all of the details. I could speculate. But bottom line, here was the government riding along on SGI, and they had all of these systems that they were dependent on these contracts with SGI, Silicon Graphics Incorporated. I believe that's what the I stood for. Anyway, I'm bad with names, but here they are riding this horse, and they're, you know, this horse is getting them where they need to go. But they see this threat. And so what they do, what the government does, is they publicly tell everybody that they're getting off of SGI while they're still riding on it. It's like shooting the horse while you're riding it. Because what ended up happening is the SGI just basically tanked in stock. People started leaving. I mean, it created this huge panic that people, you know, didn't have a job anymore with SGI. And SGI basically went bankrupt, and rack system was the one that ended up taking them over. But my point is, you know, why did they do that? Why did they allow themselves? Well, they wanted to, you know, kind of succumb to, because IBM, just so you understand how IBM was involved in this, IBM was strategically buying out the developed software developing, you know, like VisiBroker and the different type of CM tools that were being used with IBM, or not IBM, on SGI. IBM was buying up these software programs, Informix. They bought out Informix because these were the programs or software that was that actually supported SGI. So what they did was they bought them out, and then they said, we're no longer going to support SGI. Isn't that maniacal? And the government never went to IBM and slapped them and said, hey, you can't do this. Well, anyway, I don't mean to get down into the details on this, but my point is that why would anybody who's basically getting an annual, a daily egg, a golden egg from this goose, the problem, government out of control, why would somebody who is conscientious and they're more fixated on the gold than they are the solution or the problem. So why would they have any interest in this? So the question is where's Tucker Carlson's heart? Is Tucker Carlson's heart on the solving the problem or just presenting? Because, you know, in listening, because it was just talked about today as I was coming back from a doctor's appointment, I heard them talking about, you know, this conservative entertainer who was on Tucker Carlson's show, and he was trending, he was slamming the internet, and I'm going, so that's all they care about. That's all they care about. And they don't want to disclose the real truth. They don't want you, because maybe they don't understand the Constitution. Or maybe they realize that the Constitution would be their problem as well. Friends, this is why we have to start naming names. This is why we have to start going down this path of basically challenging. And you need to start using your finger of judgment and put it in the face of these conservative entertainers. You need to call them up and say, you know, where is this constitutional, you know, delegated of power for this and this? Whether that be, you know, Glenn Beck. I used to think the world of all of these guys. Mark Levin. Sean Hannity. I mean, they seemed like they were providing the truth and good information, but it was only exposing bad things, never pointing us and never uniting us on the Constitution. you know, you got to wake up and smell it here, friends. The roses are abounding. It is that time of year. It's that season. Get up and smell the roses, and you tell me why all of these folks do not understand Republic Review yet. They either have to be avoiding it, or they have to understand that it, too, is their problem. And it is time to make them aware that we know that they know. Because once they start feeling that pressure, they're going to start trending less. Because why would you listen? Why would you go to the Salem Network and listen to all of their talk show hosts that talk about the problem and do everything they can to skirt the solution? When we come back, we're going to actually get into Republic Review, and we're going to kind of line this all out for you and move forward into some marketing. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so, Republic Review, conservative entertainers, Tucker Carlson, all these people that are, you know, out there buzzing and get the Trump effect is over. The Biden administration is getting people moving. But the problem is that they're following the cheerleaders that keep them in the problem. In other words, they're not leading them to that door that actually gets us out of this mess. And that mess is Republic Review. As I told you, Republic, if you understand the legal and contractual process of getting an entity such as the federal government, who has been created by the Constitution and was delegated very specific powers within that Constitution to only do these things, getting the federal government into compliance with that, Republic Review is the full legal process of doing that. It has nothing to do with changing the Constitution. It has everything to do with enforcing full compliance of the Constitution upon the federal government. And then what it actually will do, because it has this reverse whammy, it will force the state governments into becoming compliant to the U.S. Constitution as well. And how do we do that? Well, and I've told you this before, there are mandates that come from the federal government, such as the EPA. Why is it that every state has an office, agency, or something that interfaces with the federal government's EPA? Well, because the federal government mandated it. And they said, you must do this. And we're going to give you money. And so, and that's how they always start this. But technically, if you look at the state constitutions, the your state government can't do anything unless they amend the Constitution first. Ah, but there's this little caveat that says the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And so lawyers interpret that as, well, whatever the federal government says is constitutional because we can't have an unconstitutional federal government. But we do, folks. And we've had an unconstitutional federal government for well over a century and a half. You're going all the way back to the Department of Interior. The Department of Interior, created in 1843. So, yeah, we've had over 150 years. They've been violating, actually it was called the Department of Home at the time, but we've been violating the Constitution. They've been violating and aggrandizing the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Labor. They don't have these enumerated powers. They've been pulling the wool over our eyes, and they've actually gotten the state to go along with it. But here's the facts. There is nothing in that Constitution that says even if we get the states to allow us to do these things and take the money, it becomes constitutional. Sorry, folks. There is only one thing that makes it constitutional, and that is a formal amendment that must be ratified by 3/4 of the states. And see, this is how they go, oh, well, we've been doing this. You know what? I've heard these arguments for a long time from professors, constitutional lawyers, and so forth. And show me in the Constitution where the federal government has this power of statute of limitations, or, you know, if we can bamboozle you for this long, it becomes, it's not there. It is not there. And the states have the full control here. This is huge. As a matter of fact, I was told today that, you know, somebody that's been reading my book, they said, man, I love your premise. This is just awesome. How come nobody else is getting this? And I go, people are getting it. This is growing. But this is where we need to start getting you to start demanding people go, what is your position, Mr. Levin, Mr. Beck, Mr. Tucker, Mr. Blah, Mrs. Blah? You know, there's all of these men and women in the conservative entertainment industry out there giving you the news and giving you the facts and telling you the truth. You know, it's like these evangelicals that are saving us because they're giving us the truth. No, they're not. They are giving you pornography. This is political pornography that you are aghast at how, you know, how just deviant the homosexual movement is and how evil the Democrats are. You know, the moral turpitude that this country has become, my friends. Republic Review is the ultimate test for everybody. You want to find out where they stand, get them to fully understand that there is a process. And you know what? I don't make a penny off of it trending. I don't make a penny off this happening. When the states initiate Republic Review, it will be done with first an audit. They will first clarify everything. And if they're smart, they'll do this either with a grand jury or they'll do this in full transparency for the people of the state to understand that the federal government has no constitutional standing or authority to do this. And I could just keep going until I'm blue in the face. There's that many thises that they're doing that they have no authority to do. And it's the same thing with the Republic Review just doesn't audit what they're exercising in power. Republic Review also audits how they have gone about violating the Constitution, creating laws like this mandate of homosexual marriage, this mandate of abortion. The Supreme Court has no constitutional standing to create a new constitutional power or right. Sorry. So the Supreme Court, nobody in government is going to be happy with me. Nobody. But let's make it you too. Right? Let's not let just GR take, you know, the full brunt of all of this, because one person standing against that monster will not stand. But this is why more and more people like the National Liberty Alliance are getting on board and actually supporting this, because they understand what happens when this tidal wave goes and purges all of these things and brings them back to the states. then we get to start, you know, reinvigorating our common law grand juries. We get to start reinvigorating, you know, a government accountability and a limited and defined government at the state level, and moving the powers back to the counties at the state level where it should be, at the county level where it should be, I should say. Because your county is the closest seat of government. They should be the ones that are dictating whether, you know, you guys need, you know, some type of health care assistance. And if so, then they should probably be identifying and working with the community and or churches and going down that path. So when we start fixing the social engineering problems, if you go to the Mobius Strip press page, you'll find that I actually plan on writing a book of how we're going to solve this. And we're going to do exactly what the framers did. But we're going to have the enlightened paradigm that the framers, not that they didn't have the enlightenment, but what ended up happening is they started moving towards secularism. They completely lost the understanding because those people were dead. Madison was dead by the time they started swinging secular. And so we had changed from this enlightened society back towards this debased society. People started just buying into these redefining of liberty and the redefining of our Constitution as, you know, whatever they want to say it means. Because it didn't take long for the Supreme Court to literally utter those words with John Marshall saying, well, you know, the Supremacy Clause allows us to be supreme in whatever we deem necessary because of the Necessary and Proper Clauses. I'm just telling you, folks, we have the opportunity to actually start tying down our conservative entertainers. So Republic Review, as far as the name goes, I want you to get this. If you understand judicial review is how the Supreme Court reaches down and cherry picks cases that they want to review for activist purposes, which is unconstitutional. They don't have the ability to, you know, to necessarily cherry. There's nothing in the, I don't think it's in any of the judiciary acts. It's definitely not in the Constitution. I haven't found it in the judiciary acts. When Marshall actually reached down and grabbed Marbury v. Madison. But the fact is if you understand judicial review, Republic Review is just that. It's the Republic, the states in this Republic that are standing up and reviewing their compact and holding that sub-element, that thing created by that Constitution that they created, that the states created, this general government to serve them, to hold it accountable to those limited powers that they defined. That's what Republic Review is. I mean, it is what it is. It is the state's legal and contractual process of holding that little entity called the general government that's supposed to serve them accountable to those powers delegated and to hold them accountable to, you know, undoing and getting rid of all of the debt and all of the things, because that debt just goes away. That's right. I just said it. The debt goes away. They have no authority whatsoever to utilize debt for, for spending money. Don't want to dance on this. The Constitution gives them these powers, only on those powers, like war, the national defense and our security and those types of things, can they spend money on. Can they spend money on healthcare? Nope. Can they spend money on labor? Nope. Can they spend money, you know, to promote an industry or bail out an industry that's nope. So everything that they've been spending money on, education-wise, everything that they've been spending money on that is not within the enumerated powers is illegal money spent. And if they're taking debt, they're defrauding not only the United States, but that another state like China is coming in, and China is culpable in trying to defraud the American people. And so all of that debt goes away, my friends. You've got to understand this. It is that clean. It is that simple. And as a matter of fact, just to understand this, this is, you know, what I've read this before. I'm going to read this again because this is all about treaties and compacts and contracts. The federal government is limited to the enumerated powers that they have, that they can create a contract with. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to read this from George Nicholas. This is out of the ratification base. This is a legally binding document or a This is a legally binding term and definition to the Constitution in how they cannot create any type of treaty that's repugnant to the Constitution and their enumerated powers. We'll be right back after these two messages. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so I always tell you, I read what they say instead of just, you know, asking you to take my word for it. I don't want you to take my word for it. This is what George Nicholas said on the ratification debates. This was June 19th in the Virginia ratification debates. And he said, the worthy member says that they can make a treaty relinquishing our rights and inflicting punishments because all treaties declared paramount to the constitutions and laws of the states. An attentive consideration of this will show the committee that they can do no such thing. The provision of the sixth article is that this constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuance, in other words, in concert within those limited powers thereof, and all the treaties made or which shall be made under the authority. So in other words, only these delegated or jurisdictions or powers that have been given them, only under those powers of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. They can, by this, make no treaty which shall be repugnant to the spirit of the Constitution or inconsistent with the delegated powers. So in other words, if they're going to go out and create a financial agreement and taking debt from Canada, China, UK, it doesn't matter who. If any of that money is being spent on something that they don't have within their delegated powers, then that money is just defrauded the country that is doing it and the U.S. government, because the people are not accountable. We never delegated them the authority to do these things. This is why when China wants their debt to be paid, and there's going to be many nations that may want to rattle their sabers, America has to stand tall, and we have to stand on the principles of our Constitution and our constitutional limited government. And in so doing, because you hear the Republicans say, oh, we stand for limited government. Really? Then that means that debt, you're going to stand and say that debt is unconstitutional. But the fact is, is that when these countries want their pound of flesh, we will give that to them when we send them Obama, Pelosi, and every person that was, you know, the spendthrifts in doing all of this. And as far as I'm concerned, if they want them, we will dig up every politician, to Woodrow Wilson, Teddy Roosevelt, and all of these folks that were supposedly, you know, supporting the Constitution under this oath of office, but actually undermining it. We'll send them so they can burn them in effigy if they want. That's how I feel. We are not accountable. We are only accountable legally by what is delegated in that Constitution, as Mr. Nicholas so carefully put it. So I hope you understand the name is right on. Republic Review is the states actually taking their stand, doing the review and the audit in getting full compliance to their compact. There is a reason why the uniparty Republicans avoid me. We reached out to the Washington State, Caleb Heimlich or whatever his name is. Again, forgive me. I don't assert and I take no claim in getting people's names accurately. So Caleb, whatever his last name is, they deliberately avoided getting involved with this petition that we had to remove Inslee and Durkin. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. Okay, well, that's fine. They got what they wanted then. And they supported the Democrats and they supported the uniparty agenda. There's a reason why they don't want to talk to me. There's a reason why even there's people in the Constitution Party that kind of tiptoe with me because they still have this affinity towards abortion. They have these affinities towards these myopic issues. And they hear me say, you know what, you're being divisive because you're cherry picking what part of the Constitution you want to support. Put it all into the same box. We support the entire Constitution. You cannot abridge our rights of petition. You cannot abridge our rights of religious expression or our right of conscience. You cannot mandate authority or powers to us that are not within those delegated powers that we gave to you. You have no power over life. You have no authority to dictate or create law over life, federal government. So the day will come, and the day will come soon, if you help, you have to get out to these county central committee meetings. You have to sit there. You have to be polite. And when they ask you, just take note. Take note every time they talk about the Constitution, just write it down and what they mentioned. And you'll find that you'll probably have a blank piece of paper. But if you're in the state of Wyoming, you'll probably hear people talking in that state about the Constitution. Because they're one of the few states that actually have taken a position in fully supporting the Constitution. So the day's going to come when the RNC will have to show their colors, and they're going to go after these dark red states that have actually decided to not support the uniparty agenda and support the Constitution instead. And they're going to say, you can't do this. And when they do that, that's when everybody should just abandon that party and hopefully, because I've been telling the Constitution Party, they need to change their bylaws to be able to accept this huge transition of everybody that leaves the Republican Party and joins the Constitution Party and then goes through the reorg immediately, because bottom line, you now have a new organization because you've just fused the Constitution Party with the constitutionalists from the Republican Party, because I don't think there'll be many people left other than the frontier or the Rhino Republicans left in Wyoming in that party. If the RNC does exactly what I tell you they will do, prove me wrong. Start getting every state to start pushing this. Once we start getting states to have a platform, so this is what the platform has to state, that the U.S. Constitution has delegated these powers to the general government. You list them, just that, these powers, that's all they have the power to. And then the next sentence is, they have no power to do anything else or to mandate anything else. Therefore, all the things that they're doing that is not within those powers above are unconstitutional. That's simple. Now, when that platform at the national, because there should be two platforms, by the way, there should be a a state platform and a federal platform or a national platform. The national platform should be that simple, because then it gets up to the national arena, to the RNC, and they're going to, this is where they're going to have the fear of God put in them, because they're going to realize that, hey, people have got it. They finally got it. They've woke up, and now we've got to actually show our colors. And so at the state level, you need to basically go through your state constitution and identify what legitimate powers your state really has, because it doesn't have legitimate powers for the Department of Transportation and all these other things. So you have to go through it and identify that we've delegated to our state government to exercise these powers. And so that has to be done by an amendment process of the people. If it is done by a mandate from the federal government and it has nothing to do, if it's like militia, okay, then it's a constitutional mandate. But if it's like labor, if it's like housing, if it's environmental or anything that is not within the U.S. Constitution, then it is an unconstitutional mandate. Like homosexual marriage, like I've been saying. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that what we have to do is we have to take this strong, forward pushing, I mean, smack him in the face position. This is what we have to do. So one of the things, I'm just going to try to fly through because I only have 2 minutes and I want to get through some of this stuff because it's important. And so recently we've heard that the Congressman Kate Cawthorn, Republican from North Carolina, anyway, he pushed back against CNN's Jim Acosta when asked about President Donald Trump in the 2020 election. The Republican representative does not appear to mince words when it comes to defending the party and discussing election integrity. And he basically, they're trying to point to how we basically had been failed by, you know, the Department of Justice or what have you. But I'm here to tell you that all three branches of government at the federal and state level have been failing us. We can't point the finger at just one. Everybody has been failing us in supporting the Constitution. Now, this is not really hot, but this is something that I want to get you thinking on. Have you ever heard of right to repair? I've talked about it before, this concept of right to repair. And when we talked about Windows, I think a couple of days ago, during this week, I talked about Windows 10 and Windows 11 and the spying. It's the same thing with your phones. You should have a consumer right to opt out of them being able to track any data. They should have to publicly, every state should have a disclosure law that requires every tech company to identify how they spy on you, and you should be able to opt out of every single one of those spying processes that they do in the background. They should clearly delineate the apps that you're using. These apps will spy on you or give us this kind of data. They have to start, your state legislatures have to start doing this. It's not just about right to repair. It is your right to protect yourself, because if you've been getting tired of being bombarded because they've figured out ways of spying on you, hearing about what you're talking about, and then advertising that on your Facebook or wherever, my friends, we have a right to be able to shut these things down. They don't have a right just because we want to use their app to be able to sideboard and actually spy on us and even share that data with either government or other nefarious players like the Chinese Communist Party. Friends, we have a right, and your state legislatures need to start protecting our rights of conscience as well as all of our property rights. Remember, as Madison said, if you've got property in your rights, you have rights in your property and vice versa. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort.
We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.